Hi, welcome to Being Non-Compliant. I am Patrick Reed. Extreme pleasure. I'm honored and excited that Emerald City asked me to moderate this program and to be on stage with these people who are among the finest writers and artists in the field today. Of a wave of creators who are kicking down doors and redefining the role of women in the comic field. They create works that feature women in primary roles, explode strong female character stereotypes, and create an amazing range of personalities and people who represent the range and spectrum of humanity. And as a reader, and as a feminist, and as a parent looking for comics that show images to a young girl that she can identify with, and a young boy that teach him how not to grow up to be a jerk. As a journalist and a historian and a commentator, I'm on stage with some of the people that I respect the most and I'm most inspired by, both personally and professionally. So, with that, our panelists. The point that she's not here yet, but I will reintroduce when she actually makes an appearance. So, let's, I guess, just kick things off. Non-compliant, what does it mean to you?
I feel like Kelly Sue has to take this one. I'm going to have to do anything she doesn't want. That's right. All right.
Can I have this one?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so every once in a while I will get, and it's usually somebody who means really well, but I'll get like a Tumblr ask where somebody's like, so if everybody's non-compliant, is being non-compliant compliance? And it's like, oh, you're very clever. This is not, it's not like a clique. You're not like the goth kid who figured out that all the preppies look alike too. You know, like, in the world of Bitch Planet, the people who are labeled non-compliant have been marginalized and criminalized for being who they are. I can't speak to the people who have adopted, or I can't speak for, rather, the people who have adopted the label or the symbol in real life, because I'm certain that their reasons are as varied as they are. But what I think of when I see them sporting it...
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah. what I think is that the statement they're making is, I am a person who does not fit the box assigned to me. So I am too tall, or too short, or too fat, or too black, or too brown, or too religious, or too atheist, or too slutty, or too frumpy, or too gay, or too whatever the fuck it is that my culture is going to judge me for today. And I refuse to see myself through your eyes. I refuse to see myself as imperfect because of that. And you will support me, or you will get the fuck off.
For, I guess, the entire panel, are there moments in your career when you feel that you've particularly worn that tag of non-compliance?
We'll kick it off. So I make comics for children a lot of the time, which I got into by making comics about my feelings and my sexual orientation. The internet's crazy, you guys. And one of the first things that I, you know, set into doing or decided that I was going to do when I started making All Ages Comics was to introduce more diversity and more queer characters. And it took me a while, but I'm getting there. it's happening, and I managed to get lesbians into Bravest Warriors, so. Hi, Spike.
Sorry. I got directed to the wrong hall. Wow. Okay. To the wrong hall A, I'm sorry.
Oh.
We still love you.
I never loved you.
Not yet.
Just a few more letters, just a few more presents. A few more boiled rabbits, I'll make it work, baby. We were meant for each
other. Totally like sidelining this, but everybody who has a big foam middle finger, put it up.
And for those who don't, they're available at Joyce's table.
Yeah. They are, but I'm gonna get a panorama of this because it. Alright. Now y'all can keep talking, it's cool. Alright, thanks you guys.
Since we've already gone completely off whatever question I just asked. So creating comics that portray positive images to a wide range of ages and demographics, as you were speaking about, is there any difficulty in transitioning from like one to the other when you're going back and forth? Or, I mean, Noelle, your work also...
Going back and forth between...
Lumberjanes is obligatorily an all-ages series.
Yeah.
Some of your other work is obligatorily not all-ages.
Is it? I said a swear once.
It is not necessarily being marketed as much in the same fashion. How much do you consider the audience when you're creating those works, and how much of it is just really saying what you're trying to say?
I think it's always pretty much just trying to say what you're trying to say. I mean, I'm not going to probably put any swears in Lumberjanes. But other than that, like, I don't know. We can kind of get away with a lot of stuff. Like, kids aren't dumb. They're not going to be like, they might not get it, but, like, they're pretty smart. They can figure it out, you know? Like, so I just kind of write the stuff that I like. And then, if that kind of naturally, I think, tends to skew a little bit YA, a little bit all ages. I swear slightly more when there aren't children around, but only, like, a little bit. So, it's not that hard. I don't know. It all comes from different places. It's just all these places.
I think in terms of transitioning between, like you're saying, adult material and kids material, you might be surprised in the overlap of artists who have worked for both Adventure Time and Smut Peddler.
Oh, Hi, I'm Spike. I'm the editrix of Smut Peddler. Smut Peddler 2014, how you doing? I'd bring a book to show you, but sold them all. Pornography sells, who knew?
I mostly now just do straight up naughty picture comics. I do Ojoy Sex Toy. Wait, is this? I also would do kind of like a broad range of ages, and I illustrated an entire kids book. I had some, like, not specifically adult, but just kind of like comics, and every summer I used to teach a comics workshop to younger teens, so kind of like between the ages of 13 and 16. Every now and then there'd be like a 17 or 18 year old in there. And then when Ojoy Sex Toy started taking off, I had one parent who contacted the school. Don't worry, this isn't bad, but they were just like, I just want to make sure that she's not going to teach that in class. I love that content matter, but I just don't think that'd be appropriate for my kid. And I was like, no, I'm not going to show them porn in class. That was not me.
I don't know.
But so after that, I just became kind of conscious of the fact that I'm doing extremely adult work. For those not familiar with Ojoy Sex Toy, it graphically depicts sex. Not so much as like a titillating way, but just a this is how something goes in your vagina way. And I made the conscious decision that I don't want there to be overlap between working with younger teens and doing adult content because I really don't want to get sued by a parent.
People are weird about genitals.
Yeah. So I stopped teaching that class. Nobody asked me to. The school didn't put any pressure on me. I figured I'm going to let that side go, and I'm just going to draw dirty pictures now.
I think you only get people who talk about, that is definitely my mic, there are people who talk about, oh, I'd love to submit to Smut Peddler, I'd love to get a story in there, but I am, for some reason, am under the impression that if I ever do an adult comic ever, it will vaporize any potential career I have in all ages material, which is...
very much not true.
If anyone here is thinking about some dirty strip they want to put on Tumblr, but they're worried because this means they'll never get to work for Golden Books, no. I mean, I occasionally see people working under pseudonyms, but that's for Google more than anyone else. They don't think they're fooling anyone. They just don't want, like, an 11-year-old fan who loves their work on the Adventure Time books or something to Google their name and have that come up. You can.
Sometimes that happens. I have a couple 12-year-olds that follow me on Instagram. I feel really bad about it. Oh, well. Why are 12-year-olds on Instagram?
Well, I think there's also... Do you ever find the impulses of entertaining and making a statement coming into conflict with one another? I mean, Kelly Sue in particular, you seem to have a wonderfully wide range of things. You get Captain Marvel, which is an action movie with serious heart. You have Pretty Deadly, which tends towards the more fantastic and cerebral. You have Bitch Planet, which is a whole other thing.
the entertaining versus... Yeah, I mean, no one's gonna believe me when I say this, but I don't actually set out to write like political pamphlets. I'm always writing story first, and even before that, I'm always writing character first. Everything is born of character, and but I think that. I have some very strong feelings about some things, and particularly ideas of fairness and justice. It turns out that melds beautifully with the concepts of feminism, since they're the same fucking thing. I'm not really trying to, I'm not really trying to teach. I'm really just trying to vent my spleen. And maybe if I'm lucky to do it in a way that is, that will make you laugh. Or want to punch something.
I think people will characterize anything that they disagree with as overly political. People have referred to modern comics that aren't necessarily exclusively about white cis hetero dudes beating up other white cis hetero dudes as activism, which I find kind of hilarious. You know, suddenly when it's not about you, it's someone waving a sign and shouting in your face. And no, see, the thing is, when people write comics where, you know, like you said, themes of fairness feature prominently, in my case, where themes of, like, well-adjusted erotica feature prominently, suddenly they feel as if what they like is being threatened, and they're under the impression you're not there to just sort of find a space for your own voice, you're there to silence them, and I think that's where a lot of the criticism of like the direction comics are currently moving in is coming from, a place of fear.
I think that's the thing that drives me so crazy, and I was talking about this online really recently, is that yeah, when you come out and say, like, we want more diversity, we want more interesting characters, we want, you know, comics for everybody, and then the people who have always had comics for them think that we're coming to take away their toys, as if their toys will not always be there. We just want some, too.
Yeah, it's kind of like dudes who talk about feminism as if they think a gynocracy is over the horizon.
Volcano
meeting room. But No, we don't want what, you know, you've been enjoying all these years. You can, you know what, keep enjoying it. It's fine. I'm not going to sit here and bag on you for what you like, but well, let me have what I want and have the same room for what I want and, like, be enough of an adult to not be threatened by that.
Twitter the other day, and he's like obviously trolling, but
that's the best someone,
yeah,
no, dude on Twitter.
I had posted a panel from this comic that I'd done. It was like a teen Wonder Woman story. It's basically just about Wonder Woman having fun with her friends, eating ice cream, playing Dance Dance Revolution, really offensive stuff. You know, and so there's one panel where she's standing with all her friends, and she's like, "These men are dangerous. Get behind me, sisters." It's literally all of it. There's only girls in my, like, little cutesy style. And so this, like, this, you know, this chump comes, and he's like...
It should be pointed out that this dude on Twitter, who all of us have blocked, also his icon was literally a man in a fedora.
and he says, like, this is sexist against men. All of a sudden, like, sexism is okay because it's against dudes.
Yeah.
And so, I know what this guy is about. I know we're not gonna have a good conversation here. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna have a little fun here. And so I sent him a tweet. I was like, oh, there's actually a typo in that panel. It was supposed to say, "Kill all the men, matriarchy now." From there to rape threats over him, which was,
and then you blocked him and you're censoring him.
No.
Yeah.
I took his icon and I drew a little butt on it. I sent him the YouTube video for the library card song from Arthur.
Oh my god, you were raping the music.
Did you hear me say I would rape you? What is going on?
That was the same dude that responded to the Fresh Romance Kickstarter by being like, "Well, I'm not going to back this because of the audience it's going to attract." I'm like, "I just saw you send my friend a rape threat. Like, what is your deal, man?"
Oh no, we're missing out on your dollars.
I literally feel bad that we're even spending time talking about this video right now.
I was just bringing it up because I thought it was really funny.
You were very funny. It was really fun to watch.
Experience is the most attention that guy will ever
get. The joys of the library. Finds new interests.
I've been working really hard on I wish you luck on your journey.
Sometimes that wishing someone luck on their journey is best accompanied with a kick out the door.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's boundary setting, but I feel like if I repeat this often enough, eventually I will mean it. You know, because I'm really not wishing luck, but I'm wishing all sorts of other things.
as a parent, Joey Sue, as well, yes, as, you know, an intelligent human being, how absurd does it seem to have people to find people that consider it controversial, the idea that there should be comics for everybody?
Well, you know what, I think it's not as weird to me as a parent as it is weird to me as someone who has worked in big two mainstream superhero comics that are supposed to be about fairness and the underdog and taking care of people who are less fortunate than and motherfucker, you cannot support Captain America and then be like, "Bitches, get out." You know? That makes no sense to me. I don't get it. And I'm like, I feel like no, you need to read it again. like somehow, I don't know, the 90s and pouches and lots of guns fucked everything up. And I work at Image now, so don't tell anybody else. No one tweet that. That's going to be successful.
times where that using that righteous anger as a creative tool is helpful?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I sure hope so, because I don't know how to turn it off.
Yeah, pro tip, when you work in independent comics and you voice any level of social critique in anything, usually one of the first replies you'll get is, if you don't like it, make your own. And, you know, pro tip, part of the second, when you do make your own, and it's wildly successful, they don't like that very much.
Local minorities.
Nobody tweet that.
Totally fire.
Bounce back, you'll be fine.
So are there people you would cite as your heroes, both in comics and in other media that you've learned from and looked to for inspiration? And this is,
yes.
I'm
like a super dweeb if I say Kelly Sue, but if I don't look at her, it's fine.
Hey, tell me all about your heroes. What's up?
So many people, and it's one of those things that you hate to even bring it up because God forbid you incite their rabid haters, but all the fucking women that have had to deal with Gamergate in the last year.
Oh my God. So,
I think Amina Sarkeesian and Brianna Wu and Zoe Quinn are some of the bravest people right now because they have to deal with this shit every single day.
100%. Yeah.
All day long. Constantly. Like, I don't know if any of you watched that speech that Anita did recently. It's quite short. It's only about 4 minutes long. Yeah. That was just, oh my God. I got to the end of it and was just like, ugh. Like, I get so fired up about it, but it's one of those things that I don't even want to talk about it online because even though I 100% support those people and 100% believe that the people attacking them are in the wrong, it is terrible. Harassing and threatening someone is absolutely never, in any situation, a way to make change or get what you want.
Yeah.
Fuck off, dudes. But I think that those people are like, every day I look at them and I just think, if they can get through this, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And honestly, the thing I think about a lot when I sort of think about Gamergate, think about what Zoe's going through, think about what Anita's going through, I know in 10 years, Anita and Zoe and Brianna and everyone else who's getting just a bucket of shit from these people, they'll be fine. They will be rolling. They will have no problem. What I'm imagining in 10 years is all the little angry teenagers who are trying to tell me every day it's about ethics, when they look back and they realize what they spent their teenage years doing.
Yeah, when they look up what that word actually means.
And, like, the intense, ridiculous irony of what they did, and how this will become something they hide from their girlfriends, something they hide from their wives and their moms. They will not discuss this. If somebody brings up sexism, this will be on their mind, and I honestly think a lot of the people involved in this are very, very young and have a lot of energy that they have no idea what to do with, and they are followers first and foremost, and this will horrify them when they're our age, but there's no way to communicate that to them.
I have this fantasy all the time about, like, a group of people, you know, 10 years from now being drunk in a bar and then just being like, what, you know, what was the stupidest thing you did when you were 15?
Yeah.
One of the guys just being like, I was fucking supported Gamergate. I thought that was cool. So stupid.
Like, I like this future, though, where all of the shitty kids grow up to be not shitty adults.
Yeah.
People like us will never hate them the way that they hate us.
Oh, I don't know.
Well...
I'm a work in progress.
But, yeah.
So heroes.
Oh. Yeah.
I just happened to mention real quick to the talking about heroes thing, and I want to just mention someone. I do not actually consider them a hero, but I consider them extremely educational as far as comics went, for my benefit and the benefit of the world. Okay, so when I was very young, I was very into a comic called Cerebus. and it was by a cartoonist named Dave Sim. And I first got into him because I read a comic called Cerebus's Guide to Self-Publishing, and I knew that's what I wanted to do with my life. I read it on a road trip between the DC suburbs in Maryland and Alabama, because my dad was a cheapskate and he drove 16 hours instead of paying for 4 plane tickets for me, my mom, my brother, and him. And we did this every summer, and I went through that thing, and it was all about, this is when the creator's rights thing was first coming on the scene, and he was touring with like Scott McCloud and stuff, and it was this big deal, it was this revolutionary concept. Maybe own your own IP, maybe put it out yourself, maybe figure it out without a publisher. And that really spoke to me. And I thought Dave Sim was the coolest dude. And I was like, oh, well, this is good. I'm going to have to start reading Cerebus. And I started with book one and kept reading and kept reading. And then I got to the issue of Cerebus that was about how men are sources of light and women are sucking black voids that devour light. And sucking black voids are incapable of creativity. And
I don't think they understood what vaginas were.
Like, all they do is create. That was extremely shocking and disconcerting for me, because I was just like, a person I agree with so deeply on one level so clearly has a therapy-worthy loathing of what I am as a person. And it's like, I was, I'd go back and forth. It was weird. It's like, oh, I love Dave Sim. I fucking hate Dave Sim. Fuck that guy. Yeah, but I love what he does. Like that. And it kind of put me in a bit of a tailspin. Like, what if comics is full of people like this? What am I going to do? And eventually what came out the other end is me going, yeah, comics is probably full of people like this, and I don't fucking care. Like, my life, I'm a fat black woman. My life's going to be full of people like that, And, so I shouldn't do anything? No, suck my entire ass. Better than you, and you'll be coming looking at me for work. How about that?
So I don't know if the hero's question ever actually got answered. But...
Somebody answered it. It was an educational experience, true. Not a hero.
Although I will say that. I always received strange looks from people when I cited people like Annie Nesenti and Louise Simonson among my favorite creators, because, I am, by very definition, the white, cis, boring male. And
we like
which is not to portray myself as a victim, because obviously I'm not.
Everybody listened to that, right?
Exactly. At my best, I can be an ally. But that's something that we all have to work on. And just the looks that you get from other comics fans, where they're like, I don't like Annie Nesenti's books. They're too emotional. They're, That was a really frustrating thing and made me pretty, defiantly more willing to embrace the label of feminism.
And there's also that, often that is just not true. There's that the whole thing, when Captain Marvel got announced, before it got announced, there was some dude on Twitter. Maybe it was the same dude. I don't know.
The same dude.
Yeah.
No, that's the great minority.
Yeah.
The saddest man. Yeah.
Guys,
the one saddest man was like,
it's going to be all about feelings,
And Alex from MTV News was like, yeah, the way Osborne was all about, Osborne singing into his hairbrush. Shut up! There is more kissing and more romance in a single Brian Bendis comic than in every single comic I have ever written put together. That idea that I'm a lady, so I'm gonna, so these are gonna be a particular kind of comic doesn't hold. It doesn't even hold within one person, let alone the spectrum
of gender identity.
He's also talking about the types of feelings that, like, he considers appropriate. Because, like, anger is a feeling.
Yes!
Like,
yeah,
seriously. You know, aggression is a feeling. Like, these are all and then romance from the point of view of a man, that's perfectly fine.
Like, how are but, like, Batman comics not about feelings?
Enough reality TV shows by now to know that men have very intense feelings.
Like, are we going to talk about Ink Master right now?
I don't know what Ink Master is.
Yeah, just the tears rolling down every bearded cheek.
Yes,
I want to know.
What is Ink Master?
It's a show on...
It's perfect.
It's on Spike.
Spike TV.
It is the most emotional show I've ever seen about the saddest and angriest men in the world. And it's just about like, it's like, well, also, I tattooed a pineapple and he tattooed a pineapple. I'm angry. Dude, I'm gonna fight
you. How dare you call it so tattooist? Just realism tattoos aren't up to stuff. It's humiliation.
Judges come out and like, this is horrible.
It's the greatest thing
direct
I've ever seen.
Direct TV app?
I've never seen so many feelings in one place. So, and they don't, like, they can't, like, keep them in at all.
Have you guys ever been in an art class where there was critique going on and, like, there was the one student who 100% could not handle anything negative being said by their work? Somebody went through the entire North American continent and found all these people and put them together and told them their anatomy was garbage and their color sense was non-existent, and then just let them bawl at each other. It's great.
I can't wait. Also, you get to see the people who, like, lose because their tattoos are terrible, and then the person, not only on TV is it like, you on your body have the worst tattoo, but, and they have to have it forever. Competition is really bad idea, guys.
Next convention, let's just do a screening of that.
Cumulative amounts of money.
I love this idea. Yes.
All right, sorry. What were you here for?
We don't seem to be complying with the idea of a
It's better. This is what it's like hanging out with.
Awesome!
So that's actually great, because, you know, it's easy to frame these conversations in, you know, these are the problems that we're not complying against. But non-compliant, there is that joyous aspect to it of, like, these are, you know, these are the awesome things and the things that can be better. Are there things in the past few years that you found particularly encouraging? I mean, not least that there's non-compliant fingers and tattoos and a panel like this.
This entire room.
On being non-compliant and filled this room. That's insane. I mean, I'm gonna do for Kelly Sue was there, but this morning we did the Valkyries panel.
Standing room only.
Standing room only for the Valkyries. And if you don't know what the Valkyries are, it's a group that I founded a couple of years ago for women who work in comics retail, work in stores and own stores, and that started, you know, from the fact that I didn't have an environment like that. I didn't have people to talk to about what I did and my job, and was just like, okay, well, fuck it, I'm gonna do it myself. And now we have 400 members, and it's very cool. And so we just, you know, getting to that point and having that done this morning and being and having a panel on women's retail organization and having so many people come out to support it, like, that is hugely encouraging to me.
Bitch Planet sold 45,000 copies. Issues 1, 2, and 3 went to second printings. Kids through school.
You should definitely pick up the second printing of issue 2.
Yeah. This is a chick, Kate. I think she's going to go places.
Speaking for like my own projects, Smutpeddler, the second Smutpeddler project, when I was titling it, you need to come up with a snappy title when you have Kickstarter, and I decided on Lady Porn Conquers Earth. And when I put it in, I was all like, well, this is very presumptive. But well, whatever, it's marketing, let's do it. When I launched that Kickstarter, the goal was $20,000, it funded in an hour. And it was literally the most popular project on Kickstarter for 3 days. It ended up selling. I think $183,000. It's still above the fold as most popular comic projects of all time, and it was like after it was finished, it was like I think the third most popular comic project on Kickstarter for all of 2014 after the Folios and I think someone else. It was just like a really big deal I was not prepared for. The print run was huge. We actually had to hire out someone for fulfillment. That's the first time I've had to do that. And the response has been fantastic. A lot of people are really interested in the book, and a lot of people are asking me if I'm going to do another. And the money from that run is going to finance a lot more pornography. Yeah. I'm like a one-person business. I have the satisfaction of being a rinky-dink indie publisher who is handing out $3,000 checks for 20 pages of work. Mm-hmm. And that feels really good. Also, the best thing, I'm just a fucking nobody. I'm in charge of my own destiny. I don't have to worry about what so-and-so thinks and what so... Like, is someone going to write my boss if I say something on Twitter?
Yeah, good luck with that. I'll give myself a stern talking to.
What's been incredibly gratifying and uplifting for me is that my this sex ed, sex toy review comic that I've been doing, I'm now able to hire my husband full time to work on it, so it's not. It's supporting two people from sex toy sales. Like, that's pretty awesome.
I feel like your Kickstarter did pretty well too, didn't it?
It got $69,000. Here's something terrible that happened with my Kickstarter. At the very close of it, like the email that said, it's ended, here's the amount you got. It said 69,169. I was like, 69,69, that's amazing. And then at the very last second, somebody pledged $1. And like it came in, like I got the email, but then on the actual website it says 69,170. And I was like, I don't want your fucking dollar.
That's something I've seen. Like, it's a weird thing on Kickstarter. Every once in a while you'll find someone who just doesn't like it when the number isn't round. So they'll pledge like $7 for nothing just so it ends in a zero.
I feel like there's a way to use that to your advantage.
I think that is really hugely encouraging. I mean, Smutpeddler, obviously one of the most successful, but Beyond, which is on Kickstarter right now, which is a queer comic sci-fi anthology, fucking awesome. You should pledge to it because it's amazing. And that was like, you know, funded in a day, 2 days,
yeah.
If that.
It's maybe
so
just over a day.
Yeah, and 200% funded now because, you know, nobody wants queer comics.
Obviously. Yeah, and the great part about doing comics like this is every once in a while you'll get a comment, nobody wants this. And I'm sitting here like I really can't hear you from on top of this giant pile of money.
Well, and it's crazy. There's so many projects happening like that all the time, TJ, and I'm all being funded so well. And like Fresh Romance, which I'm a part of right now, which is Janelle Aslin is bringing back romance comics, and people are, and it was funded in 3 days. Like,
absolutely,
that is also very encouraging.
Yeah,
a
lot of comic sort of genres have been ignored for a very long time because a lot of people either believed that nobody was interested or they didn't think the audience was large enough to do it. And I mean, it's so fantastic to see this crunchy granola ground root stuff just busting open the bank on crowdfunding sites.
It's just so cool. It's so cool that you can do that now, where you can, you know, a publisher can keep saying, well, we can't do that, you know, that's inappropriate. And you can just like, all right, I have the internet. I know people. And it's, yeah, so that's cool.
And no, your webcomic is about to be published in book form.
Yes, right? It is.
And let's not forget that Lumberjanes, which, you know, if you want the story of a comic that took a lot of people by surprise, has its own table set off from the Boom Booth.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole floating island of Lumberjanes.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
We have time for a couple super quick audience questions if anyone wants to use the mic in the middle.
You gotta ask real fast.
Yeah.
Speed questions.
I'm a new fan, so I'm not gonna pretend to know like most of y'all's backstories or anything. But I am a digital artist. I have no experience with traditional art. Is there room for me in the comics community?
Yes.
1,000%. The vast majority of artists I work with on my anthology projects are fully digital. There's never a piece of paper or a line of ink involved.
I just switched over, like, over Christmas because I was traveling and staying in Los Angeles so much. I was like, well, I don't have a scanner here, so I'm going to take all my Smut Peddler money and buy a Cinti. Which is awesome.
You're welcome.
Porn funded my technology.
Plan right now is to I got a tweet all saved up. I'm waiting to pay off my mortgage entirely
with Smut.
And it's like, condo brought to you by
I definitely told the dude at the Mac store that I was buying it from trying lesbian bondage porn. It's like I switched over because I find it also a lot faster.
If anything, it's preferable these days.
Yeah.
A lot of publishers will want things like, okay, you put the word balloons on this panel and you put the lines on this panel and put the colors on this panel so we can color balance and stuff like that. It's preferred, I would say.
I think it totally is. I mean, the only downside in that situation is that you don't have original art to sell, but the upside is you can get so much more work done that I find it kind of balanced
out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Katie Kate.
I'm a dad. I'm a 6, a 5, and a 3-year-old girl. Thank you for writing comics so that I can share with them. No matter who they end up choosing to love, no matter how they turn out. Thank you for what you got. My older daughter loves comic books, and she's drawing them and she's writing them, and I, what can I say to encourage them?
Tell her there's room on the stage.
They'll be here on Sunday.
We'll hold a spot for her.
Bring her back to see me.
They'll be here on Sunday. I will come.
Okay.
So much. All
right.
So you guys talked a bit about Gamergate and how damaging that was. How can we begin to repair the damage from that?
Listen to women when they tell you things. Believe them when they tell you stories about things that's happened to them.
Yeah.
If you see injustice happening, honestly, there's a lot of men out there who will not respect a woman's word, but if a guy says, that is like 1,000% not cool, suddenly it'll stop them in their tracks. Just say something if you see something going down that you know is not right. And when a woman tells you what's happening in her life, don't automatically question the validity of her story.
Yeah.
Just be a good ally.
Hi.
Like your hair.
Thanks. It's going to be whiter tomorrow. I'm gender bending as Ursula. So. Oh, I like this. Can I go up there? So my question is, like, what is like your best advice about getting started doing kind of a non-normative comic? I, you know, have been toying with it for like since I was like 16, so you know, 10 years, and so I really want to do it.
Tumblr. Honestly, Tumblr is free. Just, you know, you don't even need to go and grab a .com or .net or whatever. Just find a Tumblr name, Start. There's awesome themes people have made for free that can make the comic, you know, you can page through it on the Tumblr page as if it's a WordPress blog on its own domain. Upload it page by page, listen for feedback. That is where fan bases come from, you know, you just putting up work for everyone to see and being consistent about it.
And you guys are not anonymous comics. And you have to start. I'm sorry. You have to start now. Like, you have to start. You don't have time. I am 44 years old. I'm fucking tired. Start now.
Now.
Okay. Yeah. And we are out of time, but I'm going to get ready to ask a question. So.
Actually, Kelly Sue was supposed to pimp out my quilt giveaway.
Oh, shit. Yes. Okay. So, non-compliant quilts. So she's doing this as a fundraiser for girls leadership.
Yeah.
What's the URL?
I'll post it on my Tumblr tonight, and
I'll reblog it. So watch my Twitter or my Tumblr at Kelly Sue.
Yeah.
Basically,
you go to Girls Leadership Institute, donate however much money you want. Send me an email with it, and I will put you in for a raffle. The winner wins this, along with a copy of Bitch Planet signed by fabulous Kelly Sue.
That's me.